3, 2, 1.
It's Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Now you know that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars of this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I am Scapegoat.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
I know it's fun. You're like, hey, I found buttons. Yeah. Let's push them to piss me off.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
How about that?
That was a little bit different.
How about that?
That was short and sweet.
How about that?
Wow.
I did that.
It's almost like we delivered on something just, you know, way later.
Hey, listen.
Hey, listen.
That's our MO.
This is worse delivery than Domino's.
This is
like
episode.
When they market delivered.
And you don't even get free pizza.
And then
pizza.
They're not there.
No, but
yes,
you know what? If we had just.
Shit. I still owe that guy pizza. Hey, tweet me again and remind me. I will totally send you a Domino's gift card or something.
There
you can
go.
Now order in the app. I totally forgot, and I mean that I would get you Domino's. I will.
There it is.
It would be ridiculous for us to just drop something new in like episode 326.
It would be
ridiculous for us to do that.
So what are we calling this episode?
This is episode 350. Yes. 350.
There you go.
All right.
That's the title.
I like the excitement.
It's well, you know, we do things big here.
That's a new
no pun? No.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second. A new opening is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It is.
We have been talking about it forever.
I think it's been four years since we've had a new opening.
I think that's probably true, which is what? Nearly half the lifespan.
Nearly half the lifespan of this show.
That's what? 175 episodes.
Give or take.
And change.
Yeah.
Not really.
Not really at all. But that's okay.
And no change.
Okay. All that time off and whatnot.
Yeah.
Doesn't really factor in there.
There was that vacation.
It wasn't really a vacation.
It was.
I mean, it was time off.
It was a vacation.
But it did not feel like time off for good behavior.
No.
Is what I'm saying. It did not feel like a reward.
You were getting a not unpaid suspension.
Yes. It was
sabbatical.
No, it seemed like if there was a God, he was laughing.
It wasn't even as exhilarating as in school suspension. There was no hollering out a notebook and playing your game board. There was no fun.
None of that.
To that at all.
Nope. None of that at all.
Not a good one.
Wow.
But that all being said,
yes,
we are here for another episode.
Uh-huh. At least one more.
Hey, you know what? Every week is a challenge in and of itself.
Statistically.
I think that we corrected the audio problem from 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Last week. And I think this week we've tweaked it just a little bit more.
But yeah.
The truth is, though,
if you listen to a lot of other podcasts, even really popular ones, it sounds like they recorded them in their bathroom with their two friends on one laptop and two of them are standing away from each other.
It's four guys sitting in a room yelling into a mic.
Into one mic in the center.
Yeah. And you know what it is?
They bought
the Snowball at their local neighborhood electronics store or on Amazon and forgot to change the input to the Snowball. So it's the internal mic the whole time.
Right.
And they don't know why it sounds like that's what we hear a lot.
Why does it sound so bad?
Also, I'd just like to say, I'm a little pissed that enhanced podcasts are going away. Have you noticed this?
Yes.
So the new GarageBand got rid of it, as we discovered at NYCC.
Does that mean no
more
pictures?
Most of the podcasts that I used to listen to no longer add it at all. In fact, one of the podcast update a while back got rid of them, and then everyone was like, what the fuck, and they brought them back.
Right.
But a lot of the major podcasts that I used to listen to with enhanced stuff is gone, and I'm happy that we're still doing it. I'm not saying we should get rid of it at all,
because
it's
I'm
a great
saying...
thing. Like, hey, you're listening, they're talking about a visual component. Oh, I just tapped the link. When I got a second, I can look at it.
Do you think we're going to be forced away from it, though, at some point?
I mean, obviously, we can still do it. The problem is there's only one piece of software that I can find that allows you to do it, and it's an old version of GarageBand. So
right,
if at a certain point it no longer supports it, then yeah.
If we can't do it, we can't do it.
We still can now, and I think it's a great addition, but it's going away pretty hard.
Let's pull back the curtain pretty quick, though.
Sure.
When this mixer goes.
Yeah.
Because it may go. This mixer is probably 8 years old at this point.
No.
7 years old at this point. I had this mixer for some time before we started using it on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was testing it out and checking inputs and stuff like that. We used that little 2-bit mixer
for
about a year and a half, I would say. And then when we got robbed, for sure, we switched over to this mixer. But before that, we actually switched over to this.
I don't remember that.
When we were recording in your house,
right,
we were definitely using this. And I believe just before that. But the point being is, we've noticed that this particular mixer is not supported.
Yeah, and then later,
the later versions of GarageBand. So at some point, if this mixer goes, when you get a new mixer and we're forced to upgrade GarageBand, then...
Yeah, but hopefully it work on a new computer, the other mixer that we use. So,
oh, that's true.
So if the mixer goes and we use backup or we get another one,
right,
that's still working in the old GarageBand.
Hopefully,
so we'll see.
Right.
No one wants to hear all this.
No, this is too
hopefully
deep.
It will last through till the Begathon.
That's right. That's right. Amazon.bkgeekstuff.com. Check that out. Thank you again for everybody who continues to support that. And of course, real quick, where we're talking about that stuff, we do have some New York Comic Con exclusives still available. So
yes,
if there's something that you missed, with the exception of the Doc A prints and the Dickie Page butt plugs, any of the other things, we still have some of. So reach out, and we can certainly set you up with one of those.
We even have some exclusives from 2013.
We do have some exclusives from 2013. A lot of those will be with us at Geek Fleet 8 coming up next weekend.
Yes.
And you can check us out there as well. And I think
not this weekend, but the following weekend.
Correct.
Got it.
With that, though, I think we should move forward.
Let's do it.
With the program. Let's talk about some TV first.
Sure.
Okay. Do you want to do that?
Sure. So Gotham. Yes.
Are you both caught up on Gotham?
I would have to care in order to be not caught up on Gotham.
Okay. Wait. So you're not caught up on Gotham.
What the fuck does that mean? I'm confused.
But I think
have
it means
he's not caught
up. Have
you seen the most recent episode?
I have, but I don't care.
Okay.
So you're not sure, but if we ruin it, you don't care?
I don't care if it's ruined.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Did you see it or did you not see it?
I believe I saw it, yes.
Okay. It involves Zaz?
Here's the problem. It's not making an impact on me at all.
No, I understand, but so spoilers.
Right. Spoilers if you haven't seen it yet. I will say this. I'm gonna say this. So for people out
there... And I'm going to agree with whatever you're about to say, probably.
But yeah, people out there who are claiming that the three of us, in particular, are just haters... and have no love for the show, and that our opinions are unfounded.
Right.
I'm going to say this. This week's episode was not bad. I actually rather enjoyed it.
Yep.
I thought the Penguin lived up to everything that the Penguin did.
So good in that
role.
So
good.
So fucking good in that
role. And especially the scene with Carbone.
Oh, yeah.
Where he takes him out. I mean, brilliant. And actually, Jim Gordon had some, like, balls this week. And it was nice to see.
Yes, I agree.
Here's the problem. I think that this week's episode was an anomaly.
Absolutely. 100%. Exactly. It was, and I said it this way. This is the opportunity, and it's not as big and it doesn't matter at all because we're not going to go over the whole Warner Brothers doesn't know what the fuck they're doing thing again. But, you know, it doesn't matter at all because this is their Captain America 2 moment to like change the show and really make it interesting and do right things.
Right.
I know they won't. I know they won't. It can't figure out its voice still. It can't figure out a fucking year still. So at this point, you know, it's like, actually, hey, wow, this was actually a pretty good episode. But next week, they're going to undo all of the development that they did.
Absolutely.
And by the end of the episode, I feel like they were already heading back in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
With Penguin and Falcone.
Agreed.
Everything that they had just done that was so great.
Yeah.
They
were undoing
they,
it.
They undo it in the last, like, 2 minutes of the episode. And then, of course, next week, we also bring in football-headed Selena Kyle again.
Oh, jeez.
And
Stewie.
Is she a Hank Arnold character?
You mean Stewie?
Stewie, yeah. And
Stewie as Catwoman, Catgirl. Whatever.
And Bruce Wayne's, Alfred, can you teach me to fight? No.
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 No, I'm sorry. I don't care. I think this week was an anomaly. Prove me wrong, Gotham. But I think this week was a fluke.
I think the thing where they got over the shit with the cops finally, because we didn't really care and that didn't make sense anyway. I think the fact that, you know, Bruce showed that he had his own kind of balls and was like, no, fucking don't treat me like a kid. And you can tell his childhood is gone. Like, I get the stuff they're doing. It's just not well written. It's like they came up in a room and came up with good ideas and they don't have anyone to execute them.
Also felt too clean.
That's correct. Because Zaz is supposed to be a fucking creep.
Lunatic.
Like a badass lunatic creep. And he's working for a crime family? Like, no. That doesn't work for me. The only way he's working for a crime family, if it's like Deadshot style, where he secretly still enjoys it. You know what I mean? Like, he does it for the kill and it just works out.
Two things, I know you're going to disagree with me on one point, but I think Zaz would have been more effective if he actually showed up wearing, like, prison pants and no shirt.
Yep.
Even with just a handful of scars. Because clearly it's just the beginning. So he only has a handful, 28 or whatever number it is, as opposed to him showing up in a suit with like six rings
on. As a mobster
on.
With a bad accent.
Really?
Yeah, totally agreed.
Terrible. That dude did a better job on The Flash 2 weeks ago as the villain that was The Mist. And the other thing, and I know you disagree with me on this because I mentioned it to you the other day. I think there was a missed opportunity when Penguin killed.
Oh, I disagree. Carbone. I do disagree. Because
I think he should have. I think that they're progressing this character. I think properly, he should have introduced something with the umbrella. The episode was titled Penguin's Umbrella.
Well,
he's
he was leaning on it.
Yeah, he's leaning on
it. I think it was supposed to be a misdirect.
And then he goes to kill the dude, and he pulls out a little blade, a little knife. It was cute. And he stabs him a couple times in the guts, as opposed to unsheathing the umbrella and having it be the sword-tipped umbrella or the cane-tipped umbrella and stabbing him with that.
I think that's another moment that they're waiting for in the show. The other thing you got to realize is we're only on episode 6 or something.
I understand that.
So they can't do that right away.
But I think they can because I think they're
There's not going to be enough story. Like this was an episode that mattered.
Right.
They're going to go back to filler. We know this. And it's clear that they were not sure if they were getting picked up. Like they were not sure if they're getting what they call the back nine, if they were getting picked up for a full season, because it's kind of like going somewhere right now. We know that that's not going to be able to happen. And that's a really, really big moment.
I don't know.
Penguin using an umbrella.
I feel like it was a missed opportunity.
I agree with. I don't know who it was that said this that this show is a disgrace to the Batman mythos.
Yeah, we said that last week too. I don't remember who it was.
I watch it, but I have a really hard time getting through it. Everything is so ham-handed, and everything is so. Oh, we have to get this. We have to squeeze this into here because that's part of the character that we know now. So it must have been part of the character in the past, and
that's why I actually thought this week was decent, because I feel like they started to break away from some of that and then revert. I'm telling the last 2 minutes, I saw it all start to unravel again.
Yep.
And I just predict that it's going to go back to where it was.
It's just sad.
Yeah.
It's just sad. I feel like they're in the writer's room and one of the writers is like, no, but we can do better. Like, let me show you. And they write the episode and turn it in. They're like, that's great, but here's the thing. And then they fix the ending. Fuck it up.
Yeah. Fucks.
Let's move past.
They fucks the ending.
Yeah, they fucks the ending. Let's move past Gotham.
Sure.
Because we beat it up pretty good last week.
To a show with worse ratings.
Yeah.
Constantine.
Worse ratings, but a far better product.
Absolutely the truth.
I have not seen it yet, but I've heard wonderful things.
The first episode, the pilot episode, I thought was good. It was a little shaky, I thought, at parts, but it was pilot fatigue.
It had
pilotitis. Right. The second episode, however, I really feel like NBC kind of was like, no, fuck it, we're going for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely a bit scary and spooky. It was a bit visual. For all the people that were bitching and moaning about him not smoking, spoiler alert, he fucking smokes.
Yeah.
They don't show the cigarette in the first part, although they show it in the second part. They just don't show him light it.
Yeah.
But they do show him puffing out the smoke and stamping out the cigarette. It's a nice little workaround. If they really are having a problem getting that past the censors, they've figured out, as far as I'm concerned, a pretty good workaround.
Yeah, it doesn't stand out like, haha, it's just kind of nice. There are a couple of issues I had with the episode, and it's really sad because I really liked it. I was impressed with some of the writing that you would normally feel corny was well done.
Right.
Some of the characters that are like kind of stereotype, I get it, you don't get to see much, felt like fleshed out and kind of mattered, even in a one-off episode where we know we're not going to see them again. But at the same time, they introduced like a sidekick in the pilot, got rid of them, introduced another sidekick in the second episode. Don't explain how the hell that's going on. But I, because of how the rest of it's well-written, the dialogue, the voiceover, all that kind of stuff, I trust them already that they're they're going to tell us and figure that
so
out.
So let me tell you.
And the other thing about Constantine is it doesn't have to all fit together and make sense because it's fucking demonology bullshit. Like,
so here's the thing. The character that they had in the pilot, it was their original intent for her to be the sidekick.
Okay.
When they moved past the pilot in the writer's room, they made a decision that they did not, not that they didn't like her performance, but they had changed something that they wanted to do with the character. And so they made the decision to bring in Zed, who is a fairly well-known character in the Hellraiser verse.
Right, yeah, yeah.
She was a pretty significant character. She is going to be the one going forward. The one you saw in the pilot really was just the
pilot.
I
assume that. And you can tell that. They kind of undid it.
Like kind
of, and fairly gracefully. Like, you can tell, but it's not like, oh, this was a fucking fuck up when casting.
So
like,
I forgive them. I will forgive them that issue.
Totally agree.
Like in the Buffy pilot where Willow's Asian.
Yeah. Was she Asian in the
pilot?
She
was.
Oh, Jesus. But that being said, I think Constantine is doing really, really well. I hope that that gets picked up. Kudos to NBC. I mean, I wish that it was part of the CW universe is the only thing that I could
totally
say.
Totally would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Just because I would love
Arrow
to see.
In the,
yeah, and you know, because Arrow introduced a character like Solomon Grundy, who is kind of supernatural. A tie into Constantine would be fantastic.
That would be a great way.
And not having that ability is kind of sad.
But don't worry. Bitch. But don't worry, because it's the multiverse. So eventually all of these universes.
No one said that.
That was totally
that never happened.
They're setting up a crisis on infinite Earths for the movie and TV worlds.
Don't get me wrong. I think that would be brilliant if they did that.
No, that would be way too smart.
And that would also be
smart.
Too fucking confusing for the rest of the audience.
Yes,
exactly.
Every comic book person would be like, oh, DC, that's badass. That's a smart backpedal, but a good way to do it with comic books.
And by the time they would get around to it.
Everyone else would be like, wait a minute, there are two Flashes? Like,
yeah, what
just
happened?
Not,
yeah, no.
It's not a good idea.
All right, let's move past Constantine.
Yes.
We're going to do Doctor Who real quick, and then Homeland, and then Walking Dead.
Deal.
And then we're going to move on with outside of TV. Oh, no, then we're going to do Daredevil. Woo, a lot of TV this week.
Woo.
Doctor Who. I called it a dead shit. Not on this show, but in my personal life, I called the mess.
And the valuable lesson to learn there is you always call it on the show. Even if you suspect it's something, you call that it's going to be that thing on the show.
Yes, because everyone forgets when you're wrong. They just remember that one time you said the right thing.
You know what? In all honesty,
it's like an analyst predicting a release date.
Yeah. I feel like we haven't been talking about Doctor Who a lot this season.
No, we haven't.
We kind of mentioned it when it started, a little bit loosey-goosey, and then we haven't really talked about it. I think this
season... Because it's the old guy.
Can I tell you? No, can I tell you why?
It's Clara.
Can I tell you why?
Why?
I disagree with you. It's the writing.
I hate her.
It's absolutely the writing.
No, she's
Here's my
terrible.
Problem with this season. Most of the episodes are not that great. There's some interesting things.
Yeah.
The time heist thing, I'm not saying it's great, but I actually kind of liked. The last one with the flat earth people or whatever, with a different dimension, I kind of liked because there's a lot of character development. And the whole thing with Clara is, you know, like she's too good of a doctor, which means she's not really a companion. Like, I found that interesting. And the thing that I really like about Moffat's version of this and how he does things, which is I know they were getting away from on purpose, is... While there were individual stories and they had ones with dinosaurs on spaceships that are fucking wacky, there are still dark threads that bring everything together, like the crack opening, the silence, all that kind of stuff. And they didn't want to do that with this season, but they kept teasing this paradise thing and they told us nothing about it. And now we're all the way to the first part of the finale. And holy shit, I thought the first part of the finale was fucking badass.
Amazing.
And I hope the second one wraps it up. But the rest of the season was filler for this, in my opinion. It's like this could have been a movie with how like intricate it was, and all the other stuff that happened had to kind of happen for this to go on. But the other episodes didn't stand out on their own. There's nothing I want to talk about. Okay, there's development of Clara's character. She's doing stuff on her own. I appreciate it. Yes, she's kind of annoying in a lot of ways, but at least she's separated from the doctor, and they've changed up that dynamic, and I respect that they do that. But specifically with this finale and everything, I think she's in a perfect place for them to get rid of her very
soon.
I think
Christmas episode.
I was so impressed. I was very worried.
Yep.
But even after the opening, I was like, oh shit, this is going to be serious. Yeah. And it's
what was the thank God moment?
That Clara is going away.
Oh,
I don't blame the actress. I think the actress is doing a fine job. I just think that they're writing her.
Didn't we speculate?
Overtly obnoxious.
Didn't we speculate that she wasn't going to last very long before the season started after the pilot?
We heard right as it was premiering
that she was
leaving for the Christmas episode.
Yeah, and no one wanted to comment because they said, we're going to do some things that will surprise you, and we don't even want to comment on things to confirm that you're surprised.
Right.
So we all know that she's leaving.
So the old guy's staying around, though.
So he's
I think he's doing a great job.
I actually think he's doing a really good job. I quite like him.
Absolutely.
And audience
seems
to be responding to him.
Yeah.
But the Master, the Return of the Master.
Oh, fucking.
As a redheaded woman.
So, like, fantastic. So smart. So smart.
So they've addressed the gender issue.
Yep.
And they've kind of given a hats off to all the people who bitch that the Doctor has never been a ginger.
I think it's brilliant.
It was cleverly done.
What about River Song?
There's a lot of people that say, how come we're not seeing River? How come we're not seeing River? My response to that is, we don't actually know where in the Doctor's timeline he meets River for the first time.
That's true.
However, River is dead. So, we don't ever actually have to see her again. They could bring her back.
I think they did that on purpose.
To give her the first meeting.
Yeah.
But we don't. She's dead. She died with David Tennant. All the times that you see her with Matt Smith is actually... at a different point in her timeline, but before she died. She died in the library episode with David Tennant. So we don't ever have to see River Song. And I'm not saying I don't want to. I'm just saying we don't have to.
I'm just saying she's a ginger.
But she wasn't a doctor.
Oh, I thought
she wasn't a Time Lord.
Yeah, she was human.
She was human.
I see.
Ish.
Ish.
Kind
of. Well, she suffered some of the same things that Rose and Harkness suffered.
No, she had fucking... What are you talking about?
But she could time travel.
She regenerated.
Did she regenerate?
Absolutely. She found out that it was her childhood friend. Was River Song.
No.
And she was
daughter.
Her daughter was...
It was Amy Pond. But she didn't regenerate.
I thought she did.
No.
I thought she was Amy Pond's best friend.
No, she was Amy's daughter.
Right, but also her best friend, because they were kids at the same time.
I don't think she regenerated.
I'm pretty sure she did.
I don't think she regenerated.
I'm pretty sure
I could be wrong, but I don't
know. Do you know if she regenerated? Give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And let us know what your thoughts are. And don't spoil it now, Scapegoat, by looking it up and then blurting the answer into the microphone. Let's let the listeners get involved.
Let's move on to Homeland.
Yes.
Yes, let's.
I don't watch Homeland, so you guys can have at it.
I think it's fallen off a cliff.
I think it's cliff dived.
Okay. So the parachute hasn't opened yet,
no.
But it could still open.
So here's what I mean. Absolutely, 100%, the show is not the same as it is in the first season.
Okay.
Or second.
And
or third.
And in one of those seasons, and I think it was the middle of the second or the third or whatever, and they do this, and they talk about that they do this. They intentionally write themselves into a corner. And the thing about that show is the thing that you least expect to happen, that's not, like, the thing that you do expect to happen happens differently and earlier than you ever thought. And that's what makes that show surprising. That the thing that is powerful enough to be a season finale happens in the middle of episode two, and you're like, holy shit, how the fuck are they going to write out of this one? And they do. And sometimes they falter. You know, they admit that they're humans. But every time at the end of the season, you would be like, how the fuck are they going to move on to the next season? Like, what are they going to do? They totally change the dynamic of the show. And I respect that they have the balls to completely change that show. And right now, you're right. The show is no longer about Brody, the main character, who they had the balls to kill off, I get people deciding, hey, I'm done with this show. This is not what it's about anymore. It is a different show. It's a streamlined.
He's not the main character. I'm going to cut you off because you will not stop talking if I don't.
That's true.
He's not the main character.
Right.
She's the main character.
Yeah.
And the fact that was that for the first three seasons of the show, the point of the show was not him or her. It was the dynamic of the two of them.
Yes.
So now you have her, there's no him, and there's no dynamic. It's just a political drama, if you will, that is taking place in the Middle East, and we're following these agents and the thing that they're trying to prevent this time around, or the person they're trying to catch this time around. There's no dynamic to it. And because somebody gets shot, or a main character or a character that you enjoy gets maybe shot or, I don't know, kidnapped or something like that, doesn't give the show any gravitas whatsoever. There's no dynamic on the show anymore.
I disagree.
Okay. Well, who's the dynamic with?
The show is a study of the main character's life, right?
I don't know.
Well, she's the main character of the show, as you just said, correct?
Well, you started out by saying he was the main character of the show, and they had the balls to kill him off.
He was the focal point, absolutely. That's what people talked about in the show, right?
They talked about the dynamic between the two of them.
He was the center of that show, though.
Okay.
It was about her investigating him. He was the obsession, and everything revolved around him, essentially. She is absolutely the main character. Otherwise, the show would not be continuing.
Okay.
Right. But this is now a study of what happens later. This is what happens afterwards. They address it. They talk about it. It's something that really happened in this universe, but they've managed to, in my opinion, reboot the show to be a different thing. If you're looking for Homeland and how they're going to evolve the dynamic between the two, and that's what the show's about, the show's no longer about that. I agree with you, and I understand why you don't think it has gravitas and you're done.
But that was the whole point of the show.
But it is a really well-written, character-based, intelligently plotted, well-shot political thriller that has a stance about what's going on in the Middle East.
So what I'm hearing is, we all thought this shit was about Luke Skywalker, but eventually we found out it was about Darth Vader. That's what I'm hearing.
No.
Coming out of your face.
Well, no, it's not at all. It's the interplay between Obi-Wan.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And now it's
a bit closer to that than what you said. Right. So
it's like it was all about R2 and C-3PO. Now C-3PO got killed on an asteroid,
jacked.
And we're just
right.
watching a show about R2. Some people are like, no, fuck that. And some people are like, you know, I always wonder what R2 would be like if he lost C-3PO.
Sure.
That's what I'm trying to, like, it is a different show.
Okay.
But I am impressed with they were able to move on and I think make a really good program. It's not the same.
Right,
and that's why I'm even more.
So
impressed.
I think it has no heart.
It's simply, it's purely procedural at this point.
Well, I think it's the opposite of procedural. I think it's a really long spy thriller.
Okay,
it's a mix between.
But when you can lay the plot out as simply as, well, who are they trying to get this season, and the complications of getting that person, and how they get him, and who she sleeps with, and what are the turns
but
in the middle of it?
And
there's,
I'm not.
There's nothing on
a high level concept, when you break it down, like, hey, once again, it's another thing about drones, but they're getting a little emotional with it because you know the character is so blah. I understand. On a high level, you read on paper, you're like, this is not original. What's always really interesting in that show, and maybe it's because I watched it right after I watched fucking Gotham, is the execution of what they're doing and the acting and the high level and the high bar that they set for everything else.
I agree with you there.
Is what's impressive. That's what's impressive
to
me.
I agree with you there. But if you're going to compare it to Gotham.
I'm not comparing it to Gotham. I'm just saying that, you know. When you have like shit craft singles, and then someone's like, "Would you like to try this sharp?"
I was about to go to the shit Cool Whip.
So I'm impressed by their execution of this story and the pacing of it, and I think it is engaging. Yes, it is not the same show that is Homeland.
All right, let's move past Homeland.
Sure.
Next topic.
You want to say anything about Walking Dead?
Absolutely incredible season.
I'm not watching it still.
Me neither.
So
and you
I
totally
do plan
should.
To binge and catch up.
Okay.
I still
and
plan
you
that.
Totally should. This season, I get the fact that you jumped ship at some point in season one or season two.
No. I stuck Laura much longer than that.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I think I stuck through season. What season
did they get
on
to
now?
Four or five,
right?
Did they get to the farm before you quit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They were Herschel's farm before you quit.
Yeah, I jumped ship when they didn't kill the governor at the end of the season. So I think I watched through season three.
They didn't kill the governor at the end.
Yep.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I saw that, and then I stopped.
That's where I stopped.
I saw, like, the first one or two episodes of season four. And
no. Yeah, so.
No,
right.
I did. I
right.
saw the first episode or something and fell asleep.
Yeah, that was a really good. That was actually the prison. You didn't see the prison season.
I did see the prison
season. No, the prison season happens. The first episode. Or do you care if I do this? You probably.
No, I'm not going to watch it. I have
I think
no interest.
I think the first episode of the season that ends is, or maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's the finale, is something about the mother dying. Like, when does that happen?
The mother dying.
Oh, no, I saw that.
Yeah. When does that happen?
That happened season two.
No, that wasn't season two.
It's either two or the beginning part
no
of
way.
Three.
No way. She's having a baby and the kid
oh,
has
then it's
to
sometime
help
in season three because that's
dies.
In the prison.
That's the end of season three?
No,
no
it's not
that,
the end of season
I thought
three.
It was the beginning of season four. That
Don't
that,
forget,
no.
they have mid-season finales
they
as well.
They have stopped at a
they
mid-season.
They are on season five right now.
Yeah.
I didn't see any
four.
Of this season or last season, so I know that I watched
okay.
through the finale of season three,
yeah, I think...
which is supposed to be the big battle with the governor, and at the end he doesn't die, he gets away. And I was like, fuck this show.
Wait, that was in the town the governor was in, right?
Yes, but they were in the prison and
yes.
the governor was in town.
Yeah, you need
yes.
to you need
no,
to watch it.
I
mean,
no
you don't
interest.
Have to,
yeah,
but
I have no interest.
I just think, already, and they're, what, four episodes yeah. into this season already? Every single episode this season has been outstanding.
But, and
has
I
it
still
been
hear
outstandingly
people,
paced?
Yeah.
I still hear people giving similar complaints to the things that I had. So I'm not convinced
which is what? That it has slow pacing?
There's
absolutely no slow pacing.
Okay. I'm just telling you what
I've
read.
Episodes
and
that
it has
I've
not
seen.
Convinced me enough to go back to it.
Okay. What else are criticisms of it?
I don't read it. I don't read them that much. I've just heard that people are still aggravated with it. And it sounds like the same things that they were aggravated with two seasons ago. So I shared those opinions then. I assume that I will share them now.
Okay.
And I just don't have an interest in revisiting it. Maybe one day, but at this point I'm not interested.
Gotcha.
Let's move on to Daredevil, and I only want to touch on this very, very quickly.
The whole earth stopped for a second because the showrunner of Daredevil tweeted out that there will be no Bullseye.
Who's going to be playing Bullseye in the Marvel Netflix Daredevil? Please reply or give me a hint. And the reply was no one. Now, I don't take that to mean that no one is ever going to play Bullseye ever.
Ever. It's just not part of the beginning.
He's
correct.
Not part of the first run of the show. And
right.
Me and Kev were talking about this a little before we turned the mics on, but I really want to see Vincent D'Onofrio own Kingpin.
There's enough.
Oh, yeah, that'd be.
I mean, first of all, you have to establish this entire Daredevil universe.
Right.
Right, even though it's within the confines of the rest of the Marvel Universe. But you have to establish the Daredevil. You have to establish Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
You have to establish Daredevil's place in Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
Then you have to establish some larger, looming
threat
story that goes through everything. That will be Kingpin. Then you have to establish Kingpin, who is Vincent D'Onofrio, is going to eat it up as Kingpin, I think.
I also think
No pun intended.
Yeah, I think that the Netflix series are really... They're going to be episodic in that they follow each other. But I really think it's more of a, you know, it's a movie broken out into eight parts. It's a miniseries. So you don't need villain of the week. You don't need multiple villains.
Mm-mm.
You need one villain executed really well with an excellent storyline that carries throughout. If that succeeds and you move on to a second series, then you introduce a new villain.
But he doesn't go away.
So, have we talked about how brilliant Marvel's new lineup is?
It's fantastic.
I missed last week, so I'm upset
about it. Yes, we did.
There is literally no break in Marvelness.
No.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will end.
Yes.
And I think there was nothing this week because I believe it's elections is why there's nothing this week. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing pretty well and I think is going to come to a pretty strong conclusion.
Yes.
You're going to miss it. Then Agent Carter, whatever that's called, is going to come on.
Mid-season replacement.
Then all of a sudden Avengers is going to come out.
Right.
Then that's going to go away. Then Daredevil comes out a month later. There is no break in content.
Yeah. Ant-Man.
For the Marvel Universe. That's later. Yeah. That's after the Daredevil series and after the other series. There is no break. And then all of a sudden it'll be a couple of weeks and then S.H.I.E.L.D. will come back. There is no break in being part of this continuous universe that they're putting out. And I don't know if it's perfect planning or it worked out that it's perfect planning. What the fuck are we kidding?
Yeah, it has
a giant
to
organization. But it's brilliant. Like that's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that they're getting me to look forward to things in 2020.
Yeah.
I should not be looking forward to things in 2020. But they're also doing something which is brilliant, which is not overly teasing us. We know it's going to be Infinity Gauntlet and all this stuff. So they're like, yeah, you're right. Avengers 3 in 2018, you will see that. Be excited. But let's look at what's happening now. And I never thought I'd be this much of a fan. On the other hand, and we'll talk about in segment two, whatever the fuck they're doing in their comics universe.
We'll get to it.
Are you kidding?
We'll get to it.
Are you kidding me?
We'll get to it.
I'm conflicted.
I'm with you on that.
Things I want to hit on. You guys...
Complete flip DC and Marvel. But we'll talk about that segment.
Since you brought up Peggy Carter, Peggy Carter's been confirmed for a cameo in the Ant-Man film. We don't know in what capacity.
Cool.
She's older, currently.
Yeah, currently, yes. I'm assuming a flashback of her and a young Hank Pym is what I'm
guessing.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Probably, yeah.
Brilliant. By God.
Speaking of Ant-Man, we got our first sneak and Ant-Man footage last night during that Marvel 75th anniversary special that aired
on
ABC. It really wasn't anything. It really wasn't even footage. It was more like filming.
Yeah.
You see Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas kind of interacting. You see Paul Rudd find the costume for the first time. It looks nice. It looks cool. But it wasn't really footage. You know,
it wasn't like a
teaser.
We'll see.
Speaking of teasers, there's some pretty big rumors now that episode 7 is fully wrapped. Have you been reading this? That we're going to see a teaser before the end of the year?
Oh, yes. I did hear a Christmas teaser is very likely.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the movie opening Christmas Day?
I feel like a trailer.
No, there's like a big, there's something big, decent movie opening on Christmas
Is there?
Day.
Because you know what
woods. It's Into the Woods. It could be in front of Into the Woods. That's Disney.
Because you know what
I think it's going to, a full trailer goes in front of Avengers.
You know what I was thinking?
Next summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's likely.
I was also thinking, and this is my Disney-ness coming out.
Sure.
But Disney also airs a huge parade Christmas Day on ABC.
No way.
And you have a really big audience that tunes in.
No way.
And if they're not going to attach it to a movie, it wouldn't be a bad spot to put a teaser on TV.
I think Into the Woods is their Christmas movie.
Okay.
And I think it's in front of Into the Woods. That makes sense.
Okay. I almost think you might get a bigger audience Christmas Day watching the parade than you're going to see Into the Woods.
No doubt. But I don't think they're going to release a trailer to TV first.
It could be on both. Absolutely.
I guess that's possible.
It's a teaser, so I'm guessing it's going to be very short. You might not see a whole lot.
No, like the episode one teaser.
It'll be talking in a lightsaber.
Do you remember when the episode one teaser came out?
I remember it was in front of Wing Commander.
Did we know?
I don't remember what it was.
Did we know each other when the episode one teaser came out? We did, right? Yeah. Were you part of the group? We went to see some movie, but really what we did was just go in to see the trailer.
It was Wing Commander.
Wing Commander.
Because Mark Hamill was in Wing Commander.
Yeah.
So they put the episode one teaser in front of it. We bought tickets to Wing Commander. Well,
it wasn't Wing Commander.
It was Wing Commander.
We didn't buy tickets to Wing Commander. We bought tickets to something else.
Because I remember it was at the Parsippany Theater.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Yes.
And we went in and just to see the episode one trailer. Yeah. But let's talk about that. They revealed a lot of stuff in that teaser.
I don't know. I think it's J.J. Abrams. I think it's going to be smaller than that.
It's just like when they were building the Enterprise. Like, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah,
it's going to be a tease and nothing.
It's going to be a tease.
It'll be a Millennium Falcon and a lightsaber sound. And
not that little.
I'm exaggerating. I think it's going to be a little more, but I think that's what they're going to. And they may show a villain.
Yeah,
like the eyes of a villain under a robe.
Yeah, they'll show Palpatine.
Coming next year, that's it.
Hey, you cut that out. That's a terrible rumor.
All right, one last thing, and only because I just don't understand the casting at all.
Clone Patine.
The X-Men spinoff film featuring the character Gambit, starring Channing Tatum, is in fact moving forward.
Yes.
We don't have an actual release date for it yet. It will be sometime after the 2016 X-Men Apocalypse, because he will appear in X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes.
And then get a spin-off film thereafter.
I was answering his question. Scapegoat sounded like, why is this happening? And the answer is because First Class and Days of Future Past were bigger hits than they expected them to be.
Oh, absolutely.
And now we're going to get all of
this. I don't mind Gambit. I'm glad it's not Taylor Kitsch. I just don't get Channing Tatum, I think, is my concern.
Why?
He has a big name.
He has a big name.
And he's actually a pretty good actor.
He's a good actor, yeah. I've never seen that cat in anything I don't like.
I just don't picture him as the Raging Cajun.
We'll see.
Why? You don't think he has enough snark?
I don't know.
Watch the Jump movies.
Jump Street movies,
yeah.
Well, maybe he'll surprise me. For me personally, I just don't see him in that role.
Fair enough.
I think with that, 40 minutes in.
Picks that crap accent up, he'll be fine.
Let's take our first break with this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 350. Yes, 350.
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare is out now for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, PS3, and PC. It's not just another Call of Duty game because they have jetpacks and it's in the future, but it's absolutely worth playing. Telltale's The Wolf Among Us is out now for the Xbox One and PlayStation 4. It was previously on the Xbox One, PlayStation 3, and PC, but now this fantastic choose-your-own-adventure, Walking Dead-style game comes to the next generation. Telltale's The Wolf Among Us will cost you $30. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Hey, this is Rob Paulson, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes. And you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain.
Narf.
All right, step right up. Forget about JoJo the Dog-Faced Boy and the Incredible Snake Man. Come to the eighth wonder of the world, Geekly 8. Presented by Unwinnables.com on Saturday, November 15th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church of Kearney, 663 Kearney Avenue, Kearney, New Jersey. Take a sip of Dr. Stew's cure-all snake oil and see the sights of the one and only Geekly 8. Free admission and fun for the whole family. Forget about visiting King Tut's tomb or taking a ride on the Titanic. Come to Geekly 8, where the artists and dealers are treasured from all over the globe. There's something for everybody. Step inside to witness the amazing, astounding Geekly 8. We'll have food, DJs, giveaways, and more. Come one, come all, and witness the spectacle of Geekly 8 on Saturday, November 15th, in Kearney, New Jersey. You won't want to miss it!
Hey, freaks.
Master, we have a visitor.
This is Barry Bostwick, sometimes known as Brad Majors, and I'm talking to Big Kev.
How did it happen?
And you're listening to him now on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Keep listening, you freaks.
I made you, and I can break you just as easily.
Sorry, we're dropping knowledge.
Well, you're talking about stuff.
Yeah, we're responding because there was an excellent game stuff.
There was.
Albeit short.
Thank you, Mr. Coke Logic.
And
good
like Scapegoat.
Good dude.
Scapegoat and I were talking about, we're debating whether we should get the GTA re-release for Xbox One.
It's the first person part that are really.
It's not
really
only
selling.
First person.
No,
it's
no,
an
no.
option.
It's an option. Yeah.
No, but
I don't
looks,
like first person.
It
so
looks it's... badass. I do wonder about, like, is it toggle back between first person and third person? Because in certain missions, it would kind of be unfair because you have a better viewing angle
right.
if you're in third person. But the graphic update, you know, with the
yeah.
higher res textures and
right.
lighting and whatever else they did, and I'll read the features.
And those
later.
Games typically
they
look really good anyway.
Look fucking
oh
awesome.
Yeah,
it
looked amazing on the 360.
It looks much better than it did. It has that PC only / you know next gen-ish polish,
right.
current gen, I guess whatever polish. The first person makes it look kind of different. It gives it a different play style, which I think is really interesting. And the only thing is, I had a really great deal with Last of Us, the remastered one came
right.
out. I would trade it in, paid $10, get the new one. I would absolutely do that for GTA 5, but I'm not spending $60 to buy the game again. I'm just not doing that.
Hmm.
So right. that's where I'm stuck.
I've been debating selling my 360 retinue, all of it, games, console, and everything. I've been debating bringing that over to GameStop and just being rid of it. But I haven't decided yet if there are games on there that I actually will want to play again. GTA was one of them, but the fact that they're going to release it for the...
Yeah, they're doing some good re-releases.
The one, I mean, I might...
Yeah, I never finished GTA 5, but I will replay it if there's a good deal to get the better
yeah.
edition. And the Master Chief Collection, which, as you all know,
right.
and you can make fun of me for, I'm a pretty big Halo fan, is coming out next week, which is just a stupid amount of content. And anyone who thought, oh, they're ripping us off by making us buy all the games again, just really look at how much shit is in that
it's
box.
It's a lot of content.
It is worth the,
yeah.
and it's not $60 full game price. I think it's 50 or 40 or something
yep.
like that. It is a stupid amount of content, and I think a really good idea to catch people up for next year when the new Halo drops.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they seem like they're really open to what the community's saying, unlike Bungie and Destiny, and that's a whole other topic.
Right.
So,
all right. Is that our game?
Yeah.
Is that our game stuff games?
The,
game
wait,
stuff,
yeah,
game
we
stuff?
Did. We did a crossover.
There you go.
Did we?
No.
Does that mean we're not playing Destiny anymore?
No, we're still playing Destiny.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's still fun. I just still have problems with it.
Gotcha.
So does everyone else on the internet.
So we got two big announcements, sort of, this week.
Mm-hmm.
From DC and Marvel about major events.
Yes.
They
yes.
are crossover events within the continuity of the books themselves.
Okay.
Right.
DC announced Convergence.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel announced Everything Ends.
Everything
is that,
Ends.
Is that the name of it?
Yep.
It's not an announcement of a title.
We can.
They're just saying that's yeah. what's going to happen.
We can quickly talk about each one.
Sure.
But I want to talk about these types of events on a much broader scale.
Well, let's just lay it out.
Yes, go.
Marvel is attempting to pull a DC
New
52,
which
absolutely. We thought Marvel Now was going to be originally, but
right.
we were wrong.
But it
so,
failed.
So,
but they're actually going to do it. this time. Okay. I mean, they're actually going, if the rumor is true, they're going to end everything and they're going to restart everything.
And there's going to be things from the different universes that become part of the new universe.
Just like they did in DC.
So Ultimate Marvel characters, like Miles Morales.
No, this looks a little more Crisis Infinite crisis-y, where they're admitting that other things happened and they're bringing them together in one shared universe. Because what they've said is going to happen is people will team up between all the different Marvel universes that have been out there before. And my guess is at some point everything collapses, blah, 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 and they end up in the main universe and that's what we follow. So I think they're going to pick and choose what characters they want. And they may reboot a couple.
It's just
but that's not what, that's what not New 52 was. No. New 52 was rewriting.
That was a true reboot.
Right. This is, I think they're going to remash up their universe.
No. Okay. They're just catching up to DC, except DC did this in 1986 with the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
That's kind of what's happening.
So it's still not a DC New 52. It's still not
It's the closest modern thing that you could call it.
But you better believe that everything will be titled issue number one.
Of course. But my problem with it is
even the number twos will be number ones.
But if it's not a true reboot, then it doesn't help bring in new readers.
No,
because it further confuses people who are not
right.
But
and they're going to claim that they're going to do a balancing act of introducing new people and bringing you on board at a point where
sounds
you
like
well, I think what's going to happen. Here's what I think you're going to see. You're going to see them skewing the characters that are already successful in film a lot closer to their film counterparts.
Okay,
which is fair.
They don't have to reset everything necessarily, because they kind of have that stuff sort of out there already. That's number one. Number two is they are totally going to bring back, they are going to make everything a jumping on issue in the beginning. And they may even rehash some just like 52, they may rehash some origins and things like that in order to make it work. I think that's the only way that they do this. But let's be honest, there's two reasons they're doing this. One, you already said, so that everything can be a number one.
Right.
And the second thing is because they want to just get all those characters. They want to be able to cross those characters legit, like Morales and some of those other characters. And they can't do it now. It's hokey and it doesn't work.
I also think they're killing Fantastic Four.
I think so, too.
But that goes without saying.
There's also the No New Mutant moratorium that's going on at Marvel right now. You're no longer allowed to create new mutants for at least the time being.
Correct.
So there's
doesn't seem like it has anything to do with
there's
Sony.
There's a lot going on.
Not Sony,
right,
sorry, Fox at all.
Let's quickly flip.
That
we
has
don't
less
know-
to do with Fox than the fucking FF one does.
And we don't know really much about Everything Ends. We really only got a teaser image.
Which is what's annoying.
Right. Let's go to Convergence.
Sure.
We got a little bit more on Convergence.
Right. And it's not any better.
No.
So Convergence is the story of Brainiac,
right?
Who decides to take all the cities from all the different places in the different multiverses that he's gotten captured before, brings them to some magical planet that doesn't have time or space, opens them all, and it's a science experiment to see how they interact with each other.
Yes. Right.
But really, it's DC acknowledging that all the multiverse crisis stuff that they got rid of still exists within the New 52 universe, and it's a chance for them to get those characters to meet and bring people back.
Right.
Or, as I like to call it, Secret Wars.
Yeah. Right.
It is DC's Secret Wars.
Yes, I agree.
That's all it is.
Okay.
Overthinking it, overanalyzing it is unnecessary because it's the same exact story.
A couple of important things with Convergence, though. It's going to preempt every single book for 2 months.
2 months.
Is that correct?
So for 2 months, you don't have to buy DC Comics.
That's right, unless you want to read Convergence.
I think it'll be.
Here's the problem.
Or you can read The Trade.
Here's the problem I have with that. I really wanted to read Future's End, and I gave up.
Well, it's the prequel to this now. It's related.
It is related. But I had to give up on Future's End because it was every fucking book, and you had to read every fucking book to fully follow it. I don't have that kind of time or money. Let's be honest, I just don't. It's just not even.
You know, if you had to pay for your books, I would totally back you on this.
It's just not even a possibility. So this is more of that. It's just not.
But I think that's what's nice about it's going to be one book. You're not following every book.
Is it only one book? It's not only one book. That's my understanding.
No, it's one shot.
The books are going to continue to come out, but it's going to preempt the storyline for 2 months. So
it's not going to impact what comes out next.
So
it's
Batman
just
number
interrupt.
40 will come out, but it'll be Batman number 40, Convergence, Batman number 41, Convergence Part 2.
No.
And then there'll be a Convergence
no,
book.
No, I thought, oh, it, no, 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 I no, thought no. it's going to be Convergence.
Convergence Batman number 1. Convergence well, Batman okay, number 2. But, that's it.
But the point is that, all right, but all, what I'm saying is that all of the books are going to continue to come out. You're still going to have an insane number of books coming out.
No, they're not going to come out.
But not in the numbering and
okay,
not in
so
the...
get rid of the numbering.
Okay.
You're saying, I don't
you
think
can
it, choose no, 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 no.
30 books a
no,
week.
I don't
You're
think...
telling me they're going to go down to publishing a book a week
no.
for 2 months?
No,
no. But
no.
Not, I don't think they're doing 30.
I think it's going to be less, but I don't think it's going to be... It's not going to be their full schedule, that's for sure. And the reason they're doing this now is to cover their move. They're moving offices
yeah, of
in those 2 months.
Okay, but the point is there's still going to be an obnoxious number of issues that you're going to have to follow.
I don't believe it's – yeah, any number of issues that you have to follow in one of these stupid freaking events is
any
too much.
Any number of issues, more than one,
not
is
the,
overly obnoxious.
Not the point. The point is, A, it's going to be less issues than they're currently publishing
okay.
for 2 months. We know that's for certain.
Okay.
Number two – you don't have to read any of them because the trade will inevitably come out in 4 months and you can read
unless,
the whole story.
Unless it impacts what happens when we come back and then I want to continue reading my books and I'm confused because I did not read Convergence.
That may be the case.
Which I'm honestly okay with. If it's supposed to be a universe changing event,
right.
it should change the universe.
It should, but my concern is that my concern
so
really
you'll read
is the number
flap.
Of issues you need to read in order to follow.
So
the
you
story.
Read the front.
Okay,
flap.
But let's take the premise of it for a second. It's cities that he's captured. They're on another place.
Right.
They're not. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to disrupt what's going on in
so
your
maybe
books.
It'll be,
it's going to be secret wars.
It's going to be family books. It'll be a Bat book, a Supes book. An Aquaman book, maybe.
It's probably
going to
be
like
a couple
kind of
in
thing.
Each family
yeah. okay.
is what I think is going to happen. And all I'm saying about them is, I don't think this disrupts the DC universe at all. I think they're doing this. I don't agree with what they're doing, but I understand why they're doing it because they can do those issues. They can do this whole story. They can spread it out into. Well, however many issues it's going to be over the course of 2 months, they're all drawn, they're all written, they're all done, they're all ready to go, and then they can move their offices for 2 months and not have to worry about anything.
All right.
And then pick up right where they left off in the rest of the universe, provide... This is not a universe-changing event. This is a solo event. It doesn't take place near anything or with anything. It's out here.
I got a different impression, but maybe I misinterpreted it. I could be wrong.
But if you're right, that's a good point and a really smart scheduling idea. And why can't they fucking hire those people at WB?
All right.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I just needed one last jab.
Unless you want to talk about Convergence more.
But I do want to talk about Convergence because I want to bring you on board.
Okay.
Are any of the current DC books, do they take place in the cities that he's captured in bottles?
I guess not.
The answer is no. So therefore, none of the current books would have anything to do with Convergence. None of them, because this is only about opening up those jars on this planet and seeing how the contents interact with each other from different universes. It has, relatively speaking, nothing to do with this universe. Unless, of course, during one of the stories that's currently going on, he captures a current city and makes that part of it. And somehow when that comes back into the universe... That could somehow throw a monkey wrench into this universe, but we don't know how that's going
to
play out.
I'll have to read up more on it then.
Moron. The guy doing it, by the way, King, I think is his name, is the guy who produced and wrote White Collar on USA for all those years. So he's a total outsider with regards to comics.
Yes.
And so this should be really interesting, at least in that regard.
Okay. I want to talk about these big events as a phenomenon now.
I'm done. Okay. I mean, have we not grown out of these events?
Well, good. So I'm glad. So
okay.
Here's my problem with these. I'm just going to put out, and then you guys can chime in as well, and we'll talk about it more. But
now, wait, can you be very specific about what events you're talking about? Like the type?
No. Yes, I'm talking about these either large company-wide events.
Company-wide.
Right?
Okay. So if we have a story that takes place...
I think even individualized events to a certain degree are pretty shitty too.
So if it takes place in the 6 or 7 Batman titles, you have a problem with that as well?
In some regards, yes. So, for example, Avengers versus X-Men was a pretty big company-wide event, right? Original Sin, Future's End, Let's go back a little before Blackest Night. The Flash one
Fear
was.
Itself.
Right. Flashpoint.
Flashpoint. Fear Itself. All of those.
Well, Flashpoint was huge.
I understand that. Yeah. And I'm not saying that all of these events that I'm mentioning, by the way, are necessarily bad. However, let's go back 15 years. Right? These events used to be less. Considerably less. I wouldn't even say they were once a year when I first started reading books.
They weren't.
They were every few years, right?
Correct.
So that when they happened, the impact...
It was an event.
Right. The impact was huge. Right. Whatever it was. When Age of Apocalypse happened, that was like...
Humongous.
What the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Like, that was big, right? I feel like...
And the new universe.
Roll. Yeah, right.
That kind of stuff.
I feel like we just roll now from one event to the other, and it's exhausting. And it... They lose all of their impact. I miss the individual issues of books. I was a huge Spider-Man reader, right? I love some of the Spider-Man events, but some of my favorite Spider-Man stories were single-issue, self-contained stories. I can't think of any off the top of my head right now, but in general, they were individualized stories.
Yeah.
We don't get that anymore because everything is leading up to an event or
that will change the world forever.
But isn't the whole point? Aren't they doing this to try to drive? Sorry, I don't know, to repair whatever the right word is. Declining sales. Isn't the point that you feel obligated to buy more than you normally would during these events? Because the only way to follow the character you like is also buy that other book that you don't like.
That was the idea when they started.
That might be the idea, but I think they're alienating readers.
They are,
because I think people are 100% getting tired of it,
especially when you raise the price of every comic book and say digital's really important, but you have to pay extra and double.
And I want to say this is very important.
And they're separate
for this conversation. I'm not talking about just Marvel, because I know everybody's gonna say you just fucking hate Marvel. No, I'm not talking about just Marvel.
DC's guilty
too, right? I had to give up on a bunch of DC storylines because of this shit. It just, to me, it's just exhausting. And I just don't have the time or the energy or the patience or quite frankly the interest in following these stories after a certain point in time. I just want to read about my character that I enjoy reading.
Yep.
And his shenanigans this week, whatever it might be, or this.
And if he's going to take place, he or she going to take place or take part in whatever this event is,
yeah,
then their part in that event should be liberally described in the issue of their own book.
Yes.
If they're doing something that takes place outside of the book, you can even give Marvel kudos here, because Marvel, at least in the front of those books, in just text,
kind of
will say
synopsis.
And then Captain America punched so and so in the face and this thing happened and so on, and that brings us to this point in this book.
I think they're hurting themselves. I think that they are alienating new readers. I think that they're alienating longtime readers. I think that it is a business model that is flawed, and I think they need to rethink it. Can't we just go back to some good old-fashioned comic book stories, individual serialized? I mean,
that's not what people want, OG. They want number ones, and they want big events.
No, they don't anymore.
They want multiple covers and die-cut foil enhancements.
I don't even have a problem with a multi-issue story arc.
Prismatic foils.
Right. I don't even mind like a Spider-Man story that spans three or four issues and then wraps itself up. That's good serialized storytelling. However, we went from the Superior Spider-Man directly into Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse is ending and we're going into whatever is right after that. Right before Superior Spider-Man was Spider-Island, and right before
Clone Saga 2.
Not every story can be a season finale level story.
Right. And with the X-Men books, it was Avengers versus X-Men, and it was Original Sin, and then it was, and it's just one after another, there's no break in between. They give you maybe one issue that's a throwaway issue, but they're trying out some new artists and new writer.
Where the X-Men are playing baseball.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's getting boring. And for me, as a longtime reader, it becomes harder every month to continue to read books. It becomes harder every month. I gave up on Spider-Man again. I was like, I just can't fucking take it. I can't do it.
So what am I reading?
I'm
reading.
Huh? Injustice continues to be great. I'm going to say this too. Batman, they decided to pull out a really solid Batman story into its own book. Batman Eternal has been awesome. Return of Hush, some great character development. It's a great Jim Gordon story.
It's a weekly book.
It's a weekly book, but it's by itself. And it only very loosely sort of relates to other stuff that's going on in the other Bat books. You don't have to read any other Bat books to follow that story. I'm okay with that in that regard because I don't feel obligated and it's not so that kind of thing I'm okay with.
I'm reading maybe, I don't know, I don't even think I'm reading a dozen books anymore.
Right.
Right. What I'm reading now is the books that I have read continually for years and years on end.
Right.
Although even, I mean, Daredevil I stopped reading when they moved the character to San Francisco.
I'm enjoying Daredevil.
Oh, well, good for you.
But anyway.
And the jury is still out whether I give up on Falcon Cap.
Right.
Or if I stick with that because I don't know how I feel about that yet or what I'm going to do about that yet. And that's it for Marvel, by the way. Those are the only two books I was still reading from Marvel on a monthly basis.
Sure.
I'm reading Guardians in trade. I'll even read Nova in trade.
Yep.
But that's probably about it. I mean, I read Miracle Man, but I don't count that because they're just reprinting issues. But basically that's it from Marvel. DC, it's mostly Batman stuff on a monthly basis. And a couple of things here and there that I'm reading as collected, but I'm not reading anything as monthly that I feel can be dragged into this nonsense.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I think these events are just, they're just killing it. Last week we talked about, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about Artist Alley is killing Comic-Con. This week, crossover events are killing comic book. It's just, it's tiresome. That's my opinion. If you have an opinion, you can give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
We'd love to hear what you have to say on these big, grand scale events.
Wow. Listen to that music playing.
But that music playing, we do have to remember we have our sponsor. And it is a new month. So there is some new stuff going on.
Why didn't we do this at the top?
Because we're doing it now.
Okay.
Our newest sponsor is Kelly Maloney Chesney, independent chocolatier and team leader with Dove Chocolate Discoveries.
Kelly hosts virtual and in-home chocolate tasting parties with exclusive and premium Dove products.
Through her website, you can order such items as chocolate martini mix, chocolate-covered pretzels, and cocoa Roma pasta sauce.
I don't know what that is. But
that sounds badass.
If that's replacing the barbecue sauce from last month, I want some cocoa Roma
both.
Pasta sauce.
I never got the fucking barbecue
sauce. I want some barbecue sauce. Gifting for the holidays has never been easier with their corporate gifting bundles.
In November, when you order $60 in products, you will receive a free box of their truffle fudge brownie mix, which is over 1 pound of Dove chocolate.
Contact Kelly on our website, MyOneSweetWorld, that's all spelled out, MyOneSweetWorld.com, for assistance with client appreciation gifts and gift ideas for your friends and family.
Mention this ad and receive 20% off your first order up to $100. Yo, someone order me some Cocoa Roma pasta sauce.
Hey, I want that.
Hey, there's another line.
That's for us. That's internal.
Oh, I see.
And by the way, we did it at the end so we could leave you with a little sweet treat for the week.
There you go. See? Look at that. I like that.
And by the way, we do this clockwise, which means you were second. We're waiting for you.
You know what? I don't care who was second. Let's not talk about this
chocolate
now.
Chocolate martini mix and covered pretzels. That's my line. Those are my lines.
Let's just say that you can find us online at bkgeekstuff.com. You can find us on Twitter at geekstuffog.
ScapegoatGS.
BK Geek Stuff.
Thank you. Also, Facebook and YouTube channels, also /BK Geek Stuff. Of course, Amazon.bkgeekstuff.com if you want to support the show through that. Of course, please support our sponsor. Remember, guys, the sponsors support the show. Obviously, they help make the show possible. And it's chocolate.
Yeah, really.
I don't like chocolate.
And Dove chocolate, no less.
It's good. Yo, the almonds that we gave out at New York Comic Con, they were good.
They were tasty.
They were really good. Mm-hmm. So I could say that I support this chocolate 100% for
Agreed.
Experience. I think that's about it for this week, yeah?
Yes, OG. And with that, we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close. The fabulous and legendary 350th episode of this fabulous program. By saying good night, Jeremy Dale, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on over rock and under trees, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.